Imagine the fear. On May 26, 1940, the entire British army was surrounded by the Nazi war machine.
Britain's entire army of 338,000 men was surrounded by Hitler's 5 million man army.
That's amazing. This is Bob Boyd.
And Jerry Boyd.
This is Issues in Education. It looked hopeless. Defeat was imminent, and Britain would be another nation to fall to the Gestapo, as most of Europe had already done. The English people were overwhelmed with hopelessness, all except one man, the British Prime Minister Winston Churchill. France was considered to be the strongest fighting force in the world. Surely the French army could repel the Nazi army.
Then the unthinkable happened. The mighty French army, the last wall that stood between Hitler's hordes and the British mainland, collapsed in a matter of weeks before being crushed by the Nazi war machine.
All of France, except Calais and Dunkirk, was under Nazi rule, with the Nazi swastika flying over Paris. With the destruction of the British army, the swastika would soon fly over London.
Just when the British troops felt that all would be lost, this pudgy, cigar-smoking prime minister said, "The battle for France is lost, and we're next. Upon this coming battle, the survival of the Christian civilization depends."
The battle of France is over. The battle of Britain is about to begin. Upon this battle depends the survival of Christian civilization. Upon it depends our own British life. The whole fury and might of the enemy must very soon be turned on us. Hitler knows that he will have to break us in this island or lose the war. If we can stand up to him, all Europe may be freed. But if we fail, then the whole world, including the United States, will sink into the abyss of a new dark age. Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty, that if the British Empire and its Commonwealth last for 1,000 years, men will still say, "This was their finest hour."
Winston Churchill knew that he had to give their troops and the British people courage to stand up against the full fury and might of the German army. But Hitler knew he had to break Britain to win the war.
The German war machine showed no mercy as they bombed the exhausted and stranded remaining British army that had lost all hope.
The great British army seemed about to perish or be led into an ignominious and starving captivity. The enemy attacked us on all sides with great strength and fierceness. The power of their far more numerous air force concentrated upon Dunkirk and the beaches. Pressing in upon the narrow exit, the enemy began to fire upon the beaches. They sent repeated waves of hostile aircraft, sometimes more than 100 strong in one formation, to cast our bombs upon the single pier that remained and upon the sand dunes on which the troops had their only shelter.
The Nazi blitzkrieg had surrounded the entire remaining British army of 338,000 men against Hitler's 5 million man army in France. As the fear of the soldiers and the fear of the British people turned into dread, the Brits gave it one last shot, hurling what they had left of their army at Hitler's war machine, but it all seemed futile.
All their armored divisions, or what was left of them, together with great masses of infantry and artillery, hurled themselves in vain. Meanwhile, the Royal Navy, with the willing help of countless merchant seamen, strained every nerve to embark the British and Allied troops. 220 light warships and 650 other vessels, under an almost ceaseless hail of bombs, making trip after trip across the dangerous waters, bringing with them men whom they had rescued. The hospital ships brought off many thousands of British and French wounded, plainly marked, were a special target for Nazi bombs. A miracle of deliverance achieved by valor, by perseverance. Wars are not won by evacuation.
It was ironic that Churchill said, "Wars are not won by evacuations," and yet his army was evacuated off the beaches of Dunkirk to fight another day, as 220 Navy warships and 650 private boats, yachts, and fishing boats carried the 338,000 soldiers back to England to save their army to fight again another day.
American Christian parents could learn from this miraculous evacuation by rescuing their own children from their children's indoctrination out of America's godless schools.
That's right. To save their impressionable children from the grasp of atheist schools set on stealing away their child's innocent faith in God, it's mandatory to get your children out so they can be salt and light in society.
We got the army away. I would say to the house, I have nothing to offer but blood, toil, tears, and sweat. We have before us an ordeal of the most grievous kind. You ask, what is our policy? I will say, it is to wage war by sea, land, and air, with all our might and with all the strength that God can give us. To wage war against a monstrous tyranny. You ask, what is our aim? I can answer in one word, victory. Victory at all costs. Victory in spite of all terror. Victory, however long and hard the road may be. For without victory, there is no survival. No survival for the British Empire.
Without victory, there is no survival. We also have an enemy, not outside our nation, but inside our borders.
Our enemy is not just outside our borders. They have come through our southern borders, which has been eliminated by an enemy force that controls this government, left wide open for an invasion of 15 to 20 million illegal aliens. We are involved in a great war, a spiritual war for the survival of our constitutional republic, but most Americans are not engaged in this struggle for our survival.
Communism can be voted in on the ballot, but must be eliminated with bullets if it can be eliminated at all.
Freedom, once lost, is seldom regained. One of the best movies we've seen on the courage of Churchill, his ceaseless determination to eliminate fear and infuse inspiration and encouragement into the British people, was called The Darkest Hour.
In May of 1940, the success of World War II was determined by the courageous English Prime Minister Winston Churchill.
Churchill had the choice to go along with the other government officials and surrender, or to fight against the impossible for freedom and survival. Here's a cut of Churchill from the movie The Darkest Hour, as Churchill is told that Calais, France, is surrounded on all sides, and yet Churchill continues to refuse to talk about a negotiated peace or surrender to the Nazis.
What news from Calais?
And is now surrounded on all sides. They're being shelled and bombed mercilessly. Casualties are at 60%.
Signal only that we intend to fight it out until the end. Peace offer telegraphs our weakness.
Agreed.
And even if we were beaten, we should be no worse off than we should be if we were now to abandon the struggle. Let us therefore avoid being dragged down the slippery slope with talk of a negotiated peace.
Slippery slope.
Germany.
The only slippery
wish to get
slope.
Us so deeply involved in negotiations that we should be unable to turn back.
Nonsense. Bastianini informed me.
I propose.
The only slippery slope.
Would you stop interrupting me while I am interrupting you?
The deadly danger here is this romantic fantasy of fighting to the end. What is the end, if not the destruction of all things? There's nothing heroic in going down fighting if it can be avoided. Nothing even remotely patriotic in death or glory if the odds are firmly on the former. Nothing inglorious in trying to shorten a war that we are clearly losing.
Losing! Europe is still...
Europe is lost. And before our forces are wiped out completely, now is the time to negotiate in order to obtain the best conditions possible. Hitler will not insist on outrageous terms. He will know his own weaknesses. He will be reasonable.
When will the lesson be learned? When will the lesson be learned? How many more dictators must be wooed, appeased, before we learn? You cannot reason with a tiger when your head is in its mouth!
You can't reason with a tiger when your head is in its mouth. What a great line. And you can't negotiate with a jihadist when a passenger plane is flying into the Twin Towers. Imagine trying to reason with Hitler, who slaughtered 6 million Jews, men, women, and children, in the Holocaust, 5 million non-Jews, and tortured innumerable others in the human experimentations in the Nazi concentration camps.
I need you,
will
you
not stand by to watch another generation of young men die at the bloody altar of your hubris.
Oh, then you would have us die as lambs. How dare you? Our troops were chewing barbed wire in Flanders, and I saw it!
The German army controls every French port except Dunkirk here and Calais here to the west, where a garrison under Brigadier Nicholson is drawing fire and delaying the German advance on Dunkirk. Our troops are encircled now. Enemy aircraft is attacking us constantly. Our only hope in Dunkirk is thick cloud cover, that the skies remain clear. I am told we will need a miracle to get even 10% of our men out. Courage, courage.
How long have they got if we don't rescue them?
One, maybe 2 days.
News from Calais, the 30th Infantry, sir. They've retreated to the town's citadel as a last and probably hopeless stand. The order, every man for himself, has been given.
Thank you.
The British soldiers at Calais were taking their last and hopeless stand at the Civic Center, and they would be sacrificed to draw the Nazis to Calais so the majority of the 338,000 men could have time to be rescued at Dunkirk with private yachts and Navy ships.
The request for civilian notes, Bertie, was not a request. It was an order!
We must prepare for the imminent invasion of our island.
Take all preparations be made.
Italy is prepared to mediate a resolution between Britain, its allies, and Germany.
Winston, you are refusing to grasp the realities of how precarious our position is. Our entire army is about to be wiped out. Towns must be struck.
We have no choice but to at least consider the part of negotiation. If Hitler's peace terms are if he will leave us our independence, then I'd be grateful to get out of our present difficulties. But it is unlikely that he will make such an offer. I'd be prepared to consider them.
I have come to wonder whether it was part of my duty to consider whether it was part of my duty to negotiations with savage.
I'm aware in this moment, angry, bloody angry.
My darling, you have the full weight of the world on your shoulders, but these inner battles have actually trained you for this very moment. You are strong because you are imperfect. You are wise because you have doubts. Now, shall I let him in?
Who?
The king.
Which king? Our king.
Well, if it isn't him, it's a marvellous impersonation.
Mr. Churchill, I hope you can forgive the late hour, but it appears that the prospect of peace has increased dramatically.
The war cabinet are drafting a letter to Mussolini, asking him to broker talks with Hitler. I should like to know your mind.
It would be helpful to know yours first.
I should like to know it myself. Nations which go down fighting rise again, and those that surrender tamely are finished. Collapsed. France, any hour.
And the mood of Parliament?
Fear, panic.
And you? Are you not afraid?
I am most terribly.
You have my support. While some in this country dreaded your appointment, none dreaded it like Adolf Hitler. We shall work together. You shall have my support at any hour. Beat the buggers.
I will go to Parliament without support in my own party. I must sue for peace.
You once gave me some advice. Perhaps I can give you some. Go to the people. Let them instruct you. They usually do. But tell them the truth, unvarnished. If invasion is imminent, they must be prepared.
I have very few people with whom I can talk frankly.
Perhaps now we have each other.
And I no longer scare you.
A little, but I can cope.
Churchill had the weight of the world on his shoulders. Sure, Churchill had fear, incredible fear, but that fear didn't stop him from leading the nation to stand against Hitler.
If he surrendered to fear, he would be overwhelmed by the Nazis. Churchill was the embodiment of the resistance that infused the nation with courage. And England's king came to Churchill late at night in a surprise visit and told Churchill that he would stand with him, whatever he decided to do. So Operation Dynamo, with a huge armada of ships, would attempt to rescue the entire British army from certain defeat and death at Dunkirk.
The king told Churchill to listen to the British people. You know what? Churchill reminds me of Donald Trump.
What an incredible gamble to take all the troops off Dunkirk's beaches because these ships could be sunk by the Nazi Navy.
860 vessels.
The biggest civilian fleet ever assembled. Operation Dynamo waits on your command.
Admiral, initiate Dynamo. And may God watch over them all.
We've lost the Prime Minister.
How do I get to Westminster?
Westminster, the District Line East, one stop.
District Line East, one stop. Well, that doesn't sound so hard.
No, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
This is the underground!
What are you all staring at? Have you never seen a Prime Minister ride the underground before? What is your name?
Oliver Wilson, sir. Mm.
How old?
5 months, sir. He looks like you.
All babies look like me. Well, what is your name?
Mrs. Jessie Sutton.
Ah, Mrs. Sutton, it's a pleasure.
Marcus Peters.
Marcus Peters.
It's Margaret Jerome.
Oh, it's Jerome. Ah, well, my mother was a Jerome. I expect we're closely related. Let me ask you something. You, the British people, what is your mood? You're confident? How confident?
Very. Some people say it's a lost cause.
A lost cause is the only ones worth fighting for. Yes, now let me ask you this. If the worst came to pass and the enemy were to appear on those streets above, what would you do?
Fight.
Fight the fascists.
Fight them with anything we can lay our hands on.
Broom handles if we must. Street by street.
They'll never take Piccadilly.
And what if I put it to you all that we might, if we ask nicely, get very favourable terms from Mr. Hitler if we enter into a peace deal with him right now? What would you say to that?
Never!
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 Never. Never. Well, you will never give up.
No, never.
To every man upon this earth, death cometh soon or late. And how can man die and facing fearful odds
for the ashes of his fathers and the temples of his gods?
Are you crying?
I blab a lot, you know. We all have to get used to it. What stop is this?
It's Westminster, sir.
Westminster. It's my stop.
One of the most tear-jerking moments in the movie The Darkest Hour, the people on that subway gave Churchill strength to fight on.
The British people told Prime Minister Churchill to never give up, never surrender, fight on, even with a broom. Fight for freedom. So that gave Churchill the will to save not just Britain, but all of Europe from the demonic Nazi grip.
I shall address the House on the matter of our nation's security. At this very moment, the War Cabinet is drafting papers to enter into peace talks with Herr Hitler via his lackey, Mussolini. I have thought very carefully in these last days, whether it was part of my duty to consider entering into negotiations with that man. But then I spoke with Oliver Wilson, Mrs. Jessie Sutton, Mrs. Abigail Walker, Marcus Peters, brave, good, true citizens of this kingdom, and they argued strongly that it was idle to think if we tried to make peace now, we should get better terms than if we fought it out. The Germans, Mr. Becherfeld, would demand, in the name of disarmament, our naval bases and much else, and I think he's right. Jesse Sutton, speaking for many, believes we would then become a slave state. British government, which would be Hitler's puppet. A government set up under Mosley or some such person. And I joined with them in asking a further question, a question I now put to you. Where should we be at the end of all that? The swastika flying over Buckingham Palace, over Windsor.
Never.
So I come to you in this very hour. It was pointed out to me by my new friends. You might even rise up and tear me down were I for one moment to contemplate surrender. Yeah. I have heard you. It appears to be your will also that if this long island story of ours is to end at last, then let it end only when each one of us lies choking in his own blood upon the ground. Quite surprised me. There is no doubt that if we fought at all in the leading of the nation, we should all be hurled out of office. I'm sure now that every minister on both sides of the House is ready to be killed quite soon and have all his family and possessions destroyed rather than give in. In this, they represent almost all the people. And it falls to me in these coming days and months to express their sentiments. There shall be no negotiated peace. That if all do their duty, we shall prove ourselves once more able to defend our island home, to ride out the storm of war, and to outlive the menace of tyranny, if necessary, alone and the nation. The British Empire will defend to the death their native soil, aiding each other like good comrades to the utmost of their strength. Even though large tracts of Europe and many old and famous states have fallen or may fall into the grip of the Gestapo and all the odious apparatus of the Nazi rule, we shall not flag or fail. We shall go on to the end. We shall fight in France. We shall fight on the seas and ocean. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength in the air. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. Yeah. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender. Yeah. And if, which I do not for a moment believe, this island or large part of it were subjugated and starving, then our empire, beyond the seas, armed and guarded by the British fleet, would carry on the struggle until in God's good time, the new world, with all its power and might, steps forth to the rescue and the liberation of the old.
What just happened?
Immobilized the English language and sent it into battle.
This truly was England's greatest hour, as one man infused Parliament with his indomitable courage with such defiance that would have been laughed at by the Nazi leadership in power in Berlin. Churchill said, "We shall fight on the seas, we shall fight in the air, we shall fight with growing confidence to defend our island whatever the cost, even if each of us dies, choking on his own blood, lying on the ground. Surrender is not an option if you plan to win a war."
When Hitler's bunker was bombed into oblivion in April 1945, Churchill's defiance and determination found their fulfillment and victory over the demonic Nazi regime. If you would like a CD copy of today's program, please ask for number 1890, Churchill's Courage. That's number 1890, Churchill's Courage. And you can order a CD copy of this program from our website. Our website is issuesineducation.org. That's issuesineducation.org. Please give us a call at 928-776-0000. That's 928-776-0000. From 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." For Issues in Education, this has been Bob and Jerry Boyd.